You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
At the beginning of a new movie called Made in Dagenham, the women machinists at a Ford automobile factory in England are apolitical, low-paid workers who tolerate terrible working conditions. But then they go on to surprise their bosses, their husbands, the British public, and above all, themselves, by committing to fight for equal pay for equal work. The film, which is based on a true story, opens today at Lincoln Plaza Cinema and the Angelica, and it has a large cast that includes Sally Hawkins, Bob Hoskins, Richard Schiff, Rosamund Pike, and my guest now, Miranda Richardson. I'm very pleased to welcome her back to our show. Hi.
Very nice to be here. Thank you.
How much did you know about the real-life events that this movie is based on before you saw it?
Nada.
Really, even though
Nada.
It's so important for women in England?
Yeah, well, that who knows now? Maybe it'll be part of the curriculum because we've made it to the screen with these ladies, and the ladies are still around. And actually, a couple of them are coming around with us on the press tour, and it's just so heartening.
Well, we see them at the end of the film under the credits.
Yes,
but at the end of the film, there's all sorts of stuff that always seems to come on these days to tell us what happened afterward.
Yeah.
And it suggests that this was a turning point, not just in British labor laws, but for much of Europe as well.
The Equal Pay Act didn't come until a couple of years later. And as we all know, we're still struggling with those issues. And there is still inequality and disparity in every profession, including my profession.
And in this country as well, because although we had a law years before these events take place, which guaranteed equal pay for equal work, but statistics indicate that women do not get paid the same as men still.
Mm-hmm. That's correct, yes.
What was the justification for continuing the policy in Britain?
What do you mean? Sorry.
Well, the film deals with has any number of people, including labor union leaders, people in the labor government, all arguing that women should not have equal pay.
Well, I think it was deemed that there was a very sort of strange attitude, the male gaze on the female workforce. Somehow women were distracted, incapable of focusing, not as strong. If women were distracted, it's because they've always been multitaskers, but I suggest that they weren't and couldn't afford to be as machinists, because otherwise they risked serious injury. What they were doing was not even classed at the Ford factory as semi-skilled, which is what they started out appealing for, and then skilled, but actually what they realized was that it was about equal pay in the end, and that's what they were really talking about, and it was their right and only fair and proper.
Well, in the film, the representative of Ford, who happens to come over from the United States, suggests that if women are paid equally with men, it's going to destroy the whole British economic system and maybe the European economic system.
Mm-hmm. No comment.
Well, it sounded to me like the same justification we heard in this country for slavery. If we eliminated it, well, then the whole thing was going to fall apart.
Who knows where it's going to go? Yes, it's fear-based. I know. Well, fortunately, we didn't live. Fortunately, we had Barbara at the helm and not a less imaginative person, be that female or male. And she had the marvelous idea of bringing the women in and hearing exactly what they had to say. They were serious, you know. It wasn't a one-off little, let's see where this goes, demonstration. They were actually putting their own lives on the line.
The Barbara you refer to is the person you play in this film, Barbara Castle, who was Secretary of State for Employment and Productivity. Yeah. And she had to fight her own labor government, which you would have assumed would have had the interest of all British workers in mind.
Yeah, so the ideas were just deeply entrenched. I mean, Barbara was very unusual in a man's world. We see her in the film and she seems kind of isolated in what she's doing and left to her own devices by Harold Wilson, the then Prime Minister, who describes her, and for him it's a compliment, as the best man in his cabinet.
A bit sexist. Yeah.
He's kind of water off a duck's back to her. You know, she went with the times. And what I loved about her and what I still love about her is she's such a collaborator, such a negotiator. She has such passion for her work and for all humankind. We're all in this together, you know? Well, and she follows through.
In the film, we get the feeling that on the one hand, she understands the political implications of taking a stand and is ready to go along with the government.
Yep.
But then when she's faced with having to make a choice, she decides that she's going to go with what's right.
And it's a cause that's been very dear to her heart for a long, long time. And so she would stand or fall by that, you know?
See, did you do a lot of research on
Barbara
Castle?
I did as much as I could in the time that I had.
There is a lot of news.
There's quite a lot of footage. So I did watch some of that. I thought that was important. But I also find still photographs just as revelatory. And
In what way?
Because you can kind of soak up the atmosphere of a chosen shot in a different way from watching somebody continuously speaking. You can understand an energy from that. You can hear speech rhythms from that. But looking at a photograph, it seems much more redolent. You can sink into it. And I read her biography. I worked with a dialect coach because I thought, as I am playing an absolutely real-life character, I think it's important to try and be as near as possible to her without that getting in the way. So
that's interesting that you had to work with a dialect coach, because you were one of the a new generation of British actors who do American accents perfectly. In fact,
I always work with somebody. I never assume that I can do what is on the page.
Is it difficult? As difficult to do a specific British accent as it is switching over to an American accent?
It can be. It can be more so. I mean, there are certain notorious parts of England that people find difficult, Northumberland being one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's quite useful to be in a place and hear the people around you and understand the energy of the place. It's holistic, a holistic way of going about things, I suppose.
Well, I'm always amused when I speak with Michael Caine and he has a very specific accent, and then you see him in a film where he's playing somebody with a very posh accent.
Mm.
And it's, I guess it's the same thing as doing a French accent or an American accent. Mm-hmm. Or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When in playing Barbara Castle, were you tempted to get into politics yourself? Because she's such an intriguing character.
Well, now politics nowadays, I think, has moved on, or moved backwards possibly. It's in a very different place. So no, I get bored very easily by all the backlashing that goes on these days. What I love about Barbara is that there's no flim-flam with her, and she's incapable of telling a lie. And she wants what's right and fair, and she demands engagement and debate. And nowadays you feel that everyone's running scared, and what they say one week will be denied the next week. Or, no, well, we said that then because blah, 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 blah. But really, you know, what we have to do is we all have to buckle down and whatever it is, you know, this week's issue. And you feel an awful lot of what we're being told is distracting from what's really going on. And it's just not interesting to me in the same way.
My guest is Miranda Richardson, who stars along with Sally Hawkins, Bob Hoskins, Richard Schiff, Rosamund Pike, and many others in a new film called Made in Dagenham. It's ironic, I would think, that after all of the victories in Dagenham, the auto factory was closed down.
Yeah, I don't really have a guy. Yes, it is.
But I mean, this is all something that was very important at the time. Maybe the ultimate victory has more to do with women getting equal pay. There's also a feeling that although the focus is on women's rights, this is also about the British class system.
It is. There are three strands which come together. I mean, there's Barbara is one strand. Sally's character Rita is another strand. And
she is the leader of the strike into a leadership role.
And finds that actually she has got, for all her frail frame, she has got the shoulders to bear it. And Rosamund Pike's character, who is the trophy wife, if you like, and actually we see how their stories mesh, how they are all women, and actually everybody's in the same place.
Because the Rosamund Pike character, who has gone to Oxford and gotten all sorts of wonderful degrees, says at one point, "My husband thinks I'm an idiot."
I'm an idiot, yes. And I just want to say, she says to Rita, Sally's character, "I just want to say, carry on. And I think what you're doing is wonderful. And I hope you get there."
I understand that Nigel Cole, the film's director, grew up near Dagenham during
time
of the strike. Dagenham is where?
In Essex. So it's out east. It's not the east end of London. It's the burbs. It's further out.
Did he give you any advice about the people in the era?
No, I think he trusts actors to do their own research. But what he did say was what I think is a very good thing to say, which this is a celebration of the spirit of those women. And they told their own stories to the producers, first of all. And the script and everything that comes from the script is based on everything that those women told, with their wit and their humor and their self-effacedness. I mean, they, as he says, they had no wish for glory. They haven't aggrandized themselves. And in fact, their relatives who saw the movie at a screening didn't know that they had even done this. They said, "How could we not know?" They just went back to their lives when all this was over.
Because there was so much personal sacrifice at the time.
At the time, a lot of
pressure on these women.
A lot of pressure. And the men in the movie go on huge learning curves as well, you know? And I think it's safe to say that they're all still in their relationships, and they very secure lives, and they brought up their children and their grandchildren and got on with their lives.
It's a happy coincidence that you and Sally Hawkins are both working in New York a lot. She, my audience probably remembers her best for her wonderful performance in the film Happy Go Lucky, but now she's on Broadway in Mrs. Warren's Profession. Mm-hmm. And you've been appearing in the AMC series Rubicon. Mm-hmm. You play the role of a woman whose husband has committed suicide under mysterious circumstances, and the audience doesn't understand how she fits into the rest of the plot line until many episodes into the series. Mm-hmm. How much did you know when you began?
Oh, you don't really, and that's part of the, I could say charm of what you're doing. I mean, it is very fresh. You get a kind of a general outline, but actually on any given week, it could go another way. So you're dealing with, back to dialect, you might be dealing with different things than you thought you were going to say, and different ideas than you thought were going to happen, and different directors nearly every episode. So it's all quite new and quite interesting. It's an interesting experiment I hadn't done before.
You've also been in a Harry Potter film, and I've spoken to a number of people who've appeared in those films, Fiona Shaw, Maggie Smith, Michael Gambon, and they all say that no matter how many distinguished things they've done in their career, this is what gets them recognition. Ian McKellen, the same for the Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are very excited over here, particularly about the Harry Potter movies.
Less so in Britain?
Well, perhaps people are less evidently come up to you. Although I do have some kids in my street where I just moved, and they couldn't quite believe that Rita Skeeter was coming to live in their street. It was very sweet.
How much time do you spend here, and how much time do you spend?
Oh, I only come to work or have press, and actually I don't have a place here. No, London is my base, but it doesn't feel like very far to come now on the plane.
Where did you shoot this film?
We shot it on location in England,
in a factory.
The factory was in Wales. Mm. Yes, I wasn't part of that section of the movie. So when I got to meet the girls was when Barbara gets to meet the girls, And that was a deliberate ploy on Nigel's part. And I think it worked very well because we were both very nervous.
I understand that factory has been closed down as well.
Unfortunately, yes. But they did manage to employ a lot of the women, at least for some of the filming. And that Nigel said it was so heartwarming how quickly they assimilate what needs to be done. And were very, very professional about it.
Made in Dagenham is opening today at the Lincoln Plaza Cinema in the Angelica. My great thanks to Miranda Richardson, one of its stars, for being on our show.
Thank you.